You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coming your way on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM, we welcome you into our studios here on the southwest side. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, from his home here in a moment. Button's back. He is on the other side of the glass here today. And you, our listening audience, thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it as we kick off your local programming here on KGYM. We'll take you through the 3 o'clock hour, and then it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock coming up this evening. Good show. Mike Halas will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Plenty to talk about with Mike as we will talk some Iowa basketball, lots of football news. We've got the national championship football game coming up tonight. We'll have that for you beginning at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. It's an elongated pregame show tonight. Starts off on all of our frequencies. The two of the FMs, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, will peel off at about 7:15 for a big-time girls basketball game tonight, Solon at Xavier. The national championship football game will be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM coming your way. And then as soon as we're done from Xavier, we'll zap you right back to the football game. So everybody gets everything they want tonight as far as programming is concerned. We'll talk about Ohio State and Alabama. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Text line available to you, as always, at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You can also send us, or you can also call, I should say, at that same number, 319-366-1600. And appreciate you listening on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, your smart speaker, or the KGYM mobile app. I think I got them all right there. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, Scott. Glad to have Buttons back. The gang's all back together, and certainly a lot to unpack from the subjects that you mentioned, plus the returnees from Iowa State, the College Football Hall of Fame. And just a lot to unpack, as usual, on a Monday.
Yeah. Well, let's hit upon football before we dive into basketball a little bit. Let's talk about it. The news today from the College Football Hall of Fame, two former Hawkeyes, one a former player, one a former assistant coach, were announced that they are going to be enshrined this coming year. Andre Tippett, who, as good as his pro career was and as good as his college career was, I almost believe maybe the most underrated Iowa Hawkeye football player of all time. You just don't hear a ton about Andre Tippett. But you do today because he is going to be going into the College Football Hall of Fame. And then Bob Stoops going to be going into the College Football Hall of Fame as well, probably, and it is more as a coach. But he had a very good career as a defensive back for the Iowa Hawkeyes under Hayden Fry.
Yeah, it was really good to see with Andre Tippett. I think he's been on the ballot for a little while here, but he's a real interesting story. And I had the opportunity of covering his last 2 years. My first year on the Iowa football beat was 1980. And Tippett had come at a time when Hayden Fry arrived. Tippett was playing at Ellsworth Community College in 1978. He was recruited by Bernie Wyatt, assistant coach at Iowa, and landed there for what reason, I'm not entirely sure, but he showed up on the Iowa campus in 1979, corresponding with the start of Hayden Fry's career, and a couple years later found himself in the Rose Bowl. I found him to be a really soft-spoken individual, really nice guy, but he was ferocious on the football field. And as far as Stoops go, I mean, they were teammates, Stoops and Tippett, on that Rose Bowl team. But Tippett had a better playing career. Stoops had a solid one, but he had a terrific career as a head coach, principally at Oklahoma. So that's really good to see.
It is good to see you out there. 319-366-1600 if you want to throw out your remembrances and, yeah, everything about Mr. Tippett or Mr. Stoops out there. Again, that is 319-366-1600. So a definite Iowa flavor in the College Football Hall of Fame enshrinement coming up this year. You mentioned Iowa State football news. And aside from Jaquan Bailey, I think everyone else is going to be back and then some for Matt Campbell. They're looking at, 22 of the 24 starting players, and that includes kicker and punter, are going to be back for the Iowa State Cyclone football team. The love affair continues. More people. Charlie Kolar saying over the weekend he will be back. Eisworth is going to be back. Asali is going to be back. And you name it. And boy, oh boy, the Cyclones are putting something together. And above all, I think Matt Campbell is probably going to be back as well, because there were rumors over the weekend that Matt Campbell was going to be interviewing with the New York Jets, 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 and apparently that did not materialize.
Well, that was the funniest rumor slash story that I heard all weekend. Why would Matt Campbell go to the New York Jets? And what makes everybody presume that he's going to go anywhere, let alone the National Football League? The NFL is a whole different animal. You know, there's no recruiting as there is in college, and I think these players want more at Iowa State, and Campbell wants more. And, you know, something might pop up. I could be off base on Campbell, but I think he's pretty comfortable in Ames. There are probably higher paying jobs. I know there are higher profile jobs, but Campbell has elevated this program to one of the top 10 in the nation, at least for 1 year. And it bodes well next year. Oklahoma's going to be very good.
They will.
There's no question about it. And right now it may be between Iowa State and Oklahoma in 2021. We shall see. But Iowa State fans have to be extremely happy with all this news.
Yeah, TCU is going to be right up there. West Virginia is going to be up there as well. Iowa State will make trips to Norman and Morgantown next year to play in those road games, but it remains to be seen. But you've got the foundations for some real, real good things happening. And it's going to be interesting to see how the NCAA is going to handle with all these guys coming back. Iowa State's going to be a big-time example of how recruitment is going to go, because Iowa State's going to have a humongous senior group next year. And does that take away from their scholarships for the following year? We really haven't heard that part as far as the NCAA is concerned, allowing everybody to take basically what is a free year next year if they choose.
Yeah, you make a good point about the senior-laden nature of the roster next year at Iowa State. You know, they'll cross that bridge when it comes. Iowa State has had some solid recruiting classes, and whether it can sustain 9-10 wins a season remains to be seen. But a whole lot of looking forward to next season, and especially that Iowa State game in Ames next September.
Ooh, that's going to be fun. 17-23. Hope they just don't have to travel to Lafayette, Louisiana. although the Raging Cajuns lose an awful lot too. But as far as Andre Tippett was concerned, both 52-68 on the text line as well as 27-23, reminding us that Andre Tippett was also a black belt in karate.
He was indeed, and that didn't hurt him as he went back and forth with offensive linemen on the defensive side of the ball.
Or karate, as some like to say. 319-366-1600. Iowa State, Louisiana, by the way, was a one-year deal. So, but I would put my money on Iowa State for next year as far as that is concerned. Alabama, Ohio State coming up tonight as the college football season will come to an end. And I think more people than I figured are jumping on the Ohio State bandwagon. I don't know if that is just their head or their heart, Mark, but it is the subject of our poll question that you can go take part in at kgymradio.com.
Yes, indeed. Will Ohio State pull off the upset in tonight's title game? Yes or no? Early voting is split. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City for sponsoring the poll question today and every day. Now, if you're into numbers, Alabama at the Elite Sportsbook is favored by 8.5 points. And the total is gargantuan, 75.5 points in this game. I hearken back to the Ohio State Clemson game and wonder if Justin Fields and the entire host Ohio State team, can they have as good a game as they did against Clemson? And I find it hard to believe that they can against Alabama. I'm going to back Alabama tonight.
I am with you. I think Alabama is going to win this thing. Alabama's defense is not as stout as they have been in the past, but they have enough back there that they're going to be fine. And I'm with you. I just don't know if 11 days was enough to heal up Justin Fields. And Nick Saban is going to come after him. There's no doubt. And can Ohio State stay with the Alabama receivers on the outside? Alabama may get Waddle back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You've got three guys that can just run verticals downfield, and I'm not sure if Ohio State has enough to stay with all three of them. We'll see. But Najee Harris is going to be big. I think Sermon is going to be very big as well as far as Ohio State. Ohio State, I think, needs to run the ball some. They don't have to run for 250 yards or whatever it was, that big number they put up against Northwestern in the championship game of the Big Ten, but they can't win this game running for 50, 60 yards right in there. They're going to have to make Alabama think run and have the play action work to have a shot in this game tonight.
Yeah, and Alabama had a couple games. I remember the Georgia game, maybe it was Mississippi State game, where they didn't defend the run very well. And Trey Sermon has had a huge back end of the season. Trey Sermon is very capable, as is the Ohio State line. And I think you make an excellent point there. If Ohio State can run the ball, that might bode well for the Buckeyes.
Yeah. They've both been there before, and I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun one. Again, 6 o'clock tonight, and the coverage on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM coming your way this evening, taking you through the entirety of the game. Of course, we've got Solon and Xavier tonight at 7:15 on the 107.5 FM dial, as well as 106.3 FM coming up this evening, which will be a good one as well. And then we'll get right back to the game as soon as that high school girls basketball game ends coming up tonight. Speaking of high school basketball, a note, COVID hitting again. Our South game tomorrow has been postponed between Regina and West Branch. So we will just have one game tomorrow, and that'll be on 107.5 FM tomorrow evening. Linmar Boys at Cedar Rapids Prairie at 7:15 coming your way. We'll try to get a – that's three in a row in the South if you're keeping score, Mark. So we'll try for a game on Friday and see if we can get one back up and running there. They've had some problems with some of the teams down there. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. 17 past 3. Scott and Mark with you. Michael Oss going to join us in about 12 minutes or so. Let's get to basketball. Congratulations to Jordan Bohannon, as he has been named the co-Big Ten Men's Basketball Player of the Week. And what a week Jordan had, hitting threes all over the place. And he helped Iowa take care of business and avenge a loss earlier in the season to the Minnesota Golden Gophers yesterday, and also get the win over at College Park against the Maryland team that beat Illinois yesterday, if you think you know what's happening in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, indeed, and that's Illinois' second loss in the league. Now two games behind or thereabouts of Michigan. Michigan has a tough one tomorrow night against Wisconsin, although it is at home. But in regards to Bohannon, he may have played his best game. 14 assists is too short of the school record. But the most impressive thing is points, assists, tremendous. He had no turnovers.
That's
no turnovers
crazy.
Is excellent, obviously, in 36 minutes. So, and I was thinking back, you know, the one thing about this Iowa basketball team, and not much is being made of it, but the contribution of the Iowa high school players on this team. Of course, you have two McCaffreys. That adds to it. But at any one time, you can have four or five former Iowa high school players on the floor at the same time for the number five ranked team in the country. That speaks a lot to Iowa high school basketball. Of course, Jordan Bohannon, you covered many of his games at Linmore. He's probably what Jared Utoff, the last metro area prep to win Big Ten weekly honors. I'd have to look back on that.
Well, it may have been Jordan. Who knows?
no, this is his first award.
It is his first. Okay.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. In all the time that he's had at Iowa. I mean, yeah, I would say Jared Utoff, for sure. Not even going back and looking and checking, but I would say it would be Utoff. But yeah, you're right. You take a look at it. Joe Wieskamp, who had a nice bounce back game yesterday, out there. You got the Murrays out there as well. And among others, and just great to see. Just great to see out there. And Iowa gets a much-needed win against Minnesota, and you mentioned one game behind Michigan as far as the Big Ten standings. Hawks remain, number six in the AP poll again this week. There wasn't any change up at the top. AP poll is getting to the point. Usually this doesn't happen until February, Mark, where you just get the same 25 teams in there each and every week, no matter what happens. But it's starting to happen a little bit earlier this year. Maybe it's because of COVID. I don't know. But Minnesota stays in the rankings, and some of the other squads that took losses this week stayed in the rankings. So the net rank is the big one. That's what everybody looks at in the end.
No doubt. Iowa holding serve pretty much right now. That road loss against Minnesota. Now in comes Sparty on Thursday. This is not a Michigan State team that you've come used to seeing. Probably stinging from that loss against Purdue at home, in which Michigan State led most, if not all, the game until the very end. That was a tough loss because that was the fourth in six league games so far for Michigan State. So, another interesting game come Thursday night.
Yeah, they blew a 17-point lead in that game against Purdue, and you just don't see Tom Izzo's team do that. And yeah, it's one you got to get, but Michigan State does not want to see 2-5 in the Big Ten standings. They are still rated, I believe, in the top 25.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's pretty much all you need to know, but. Michigan State still has the firepower. There's no doubt about that. Well, things going well. Oh, by the way, the Caitlin Clark Award was won by Caitlin Clark again. Congratulations to Caitlin as she was named Big Ten Freshman of the Week in women's basketball, even though her first, I guess, can we say subpar game or human-like game against Northwestern on Saturday night where fouled out, only had 8 points as Iowa fell to the Cats. By the way, we are going to talk on Friday with Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter. Thank you to Buttons for helping us set that up. And we will talk with Lisa Bluter coming up on Friday.
Well, looking forward to that. Obviously, when Lisa or Jan Jensen joins us on the program, it's always entertaining. And I'm anxious to talk to Lisa about this team and how far it can go. Because it has had some very, very good games. And you mentioned stumbled against Northwestern. I think Northwestern, as everybody else is trying to make other people besides Caitlin Clark beat them. I think Sonano had 28 points in that
yes.
game. So you're not going to find see too many games where Caitlin Clark only scores 8 points.
Yes, a couple pieces of not so good news. The first one is the fact that Drake and Loyola had to postpone their games due to coronavirus in Des Moines on the campus at Drake. And that it was just too bad because not only was it going to be the Missouri Valley Conference doubleheader of the year, they're still going to get it in at some point. Just don't know exactly when it's going to happen down the road. But Drake had a national spotlight. That game was going to be on ESPN2 on Sunday. And it would have been a great showcase as far as what Darren DeVries and the Bulldogs have accomplished and what they could have done against Loyola. And now they have to wait a little bit, and who knows if they're going to be able to get that national exposure. But I guess that was a bummer as far as the weekend is concerned.
Unfortunate, not surprising. I think those are understatements. But hopefully things get well in the Drake program and get back on the court and continue to do great things.
Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous about what's going on in Ames. I will say that, Mark, because Iowa State was just absolutely pummeled at home by Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech is a top 15 team. That's a good team. Chris Beard has a lot of talent down in Lubbock. But what the game itself was not what was so disappointing. It was disappointing, but it was a lot of the talk afterwards with some of the quotes coming out of the locker room as far as some of the Iowa State players were concerned. It's almost as though you could read between the lines a little bit that there's some doubt creeping in on this Iowa State program. Steve Prohm didn't hold back at all after the game, saying, you know, we basically didn't do anything right, and it starts from the top down. And Iowa State is 0-5 now in the Big 12, and we knew this start was going to be brutal, ended up to be brutal. Now the news coming out, even though he didn't play a lot, Xavier Foster is going to be shut down for the rest of the season. Things aren't going well in Ames right now.
Well, they're not going well at all. And just a week or two ago, there were promising signs because Iowa State played Baylor tough, played Texas pretty tough, and now to get blown out. And I had, listening to John Walter's call of the game last night, you could he was exasperated by the play on the court. And you hope Prohm doesn't lose this team. I understand some of the quotes out of frustration after getting blown out. Now you got to come back and try to go to Kansas State and win a basketball game. That's a winnable game, but Cyclones are going to have to execute, and they showed no signs of that on this weekend.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a couple of moments. You and I can both start a 1-900 number, Mark, because we both said the L.A. Rams were going to beat the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. And they did, despite the fact Jared Goff was basically playing with one hand. And their other quarterback ended up, unfortunately, in the hospital during the football game. But they got the win over Seattle. I'm just not sure why that was such an amazing upset, why everyone's talking about it. Rams do have the number one defense in the National Football League. And, yes, they lost to the Jets, but the Rams are still a very good football team. You got some really good divisional matchups coming up this this weekend that we're looking forward to.
We really do. We'll see if that Rams team can take the same kind of effort to Green Bay and how healthy Jared Goff is going to be. It's going to be obviously key. But Green Bay with the week off, getting healthy, playing at home, I think that's a tough one for the Rams. But whenever you have a good defense, you've got a shot. You got that game on Saturday and also Saturday night, Baltimore at Buffalo. What a whale of a game that could be. Baltimore, you know, winning in that wild card round and now in the divisional round. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go a couple steps further. And then Sunday you got Tampa Bay and New Orleans, the third meeting of the year against grandfathers. No, not grandfathers, but
42-43.
Breeze and Brady. And then Cleveland at Kansas City. What do you think there? Cleveland, very impressive against the Steelers.
I think Cleveland's got a boatload of talent, but as I told you and others that I was texting with last night, I and yesterday, I wanted I would much rather have Cleveland than taking a chance and having Lamar Jackson have one of his Lamar Jackson games like he did against Tennessee on Sunday. So I guess it's, what, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. But you got to play everybody, right?
Well, that's what you have in the divisional round, and it's tough matchups in and out. The Saints were, I thought, impressive defensively against the Bears, but you got to factor in the Bears' offense in that regard. The Bears on defense gave, you know, an effort, a winning effort in
my
mind.
They did.
But you have a guy like Wims drop one through the breadbasket in the end zone that
Wims should just not play against the Saints.
No, he shouldn't. He hasn't had a very good time of it. But let's face it, the Bears were lucky to get in the playoffs, 500 team, and got some work to do in Chicago.
Yeah, a little bit, but everybody
and some
does.
Decision making.
And then in news today, Doug Peterson out in Philadelphia after winning a Super Bowl just a handful of years ago. And it'll be interesting to see if he lands somewhere. I got a feeling he's going to be, at worst, an offensive coordinator somewhere. He's just too good of an offensive mind as far as – but the Eagles just imploded from not – even before the mystery quarterback switch at the end of the Sunday night game against Washington. But you had quarterbacks that weren't wanting to be there, at least one of them. You had other personnel problems, and things just unraveled in Philadelphia, and something had to be done.
Well, it constantly amazes me. The coach is getting fired, a guy who won the Super Bowl, and I think his move to put in Nate Sudfeld for Jalen Hurts maybe was the nail in the coffin for an Eagles team that only won a handful of games and a tie this year. But here's a guy who won a Super Bowl. Did he forget how to coach? They want to run Matt Nagy out of Chicago. Some do. 2 years ago, he was the National Football League Coach of the Year. I don't think these guys forget how to coach. It's an amazing phenomenon to me. And why would you want to coach in the National Football League when your tenure might only be a couple of years?
You're right. Maybe Matt Campbell answered that question over the weekend. Remains to be seen, but yeah, now he's been to the playoffs 2 of his 3 years in Chicago. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind out there. All right, 3:31. Lots of talk over with Mike Halas, sports columnist from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, says we will do that coming up here in just a couple of moments. Alabama and Ohio State, that is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson for helping us out with that. And go ahead and register your votes. Do you think the Buckeyes will pull off the upset coming up tonight? Or will it be another national championship for the Crimson Tide of Alabama and another monument to put outside Bryant-Denny Stadium in T-Town? We'll take a break, come back. Mike Halas joins us after this here on KGYM.
BetMGM makes the college championship game even more exciting with a special offer for new customers. Sign up today for a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on either team in the college championship and a touchdown is scored in the game, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Experience big games like never before with the King of Sportsbook's innovative parlay selection features. Boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets if a touchdown is scored in the college championship. BetMGM is the place to bet with confidence on your favorite sports all year long. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
prior to going to DePaco, my credit was not the best. I was driving a car that was having mechanical issues. So one day I just went there and Mida sat down with me and went over my finances, and we did what's called a money makeover. We were able to get me signed up for a credit card, and I used that to build my credit so that I could be able to get my own car. I love my car, and it's something that I can brag about, honestly, because it's mine and I worked for it, and it's something that I'm proud of. DePaco Community Credit Union and the money makeover was able to get me moving again and in a new car, and I can't thank them enough.
Your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
3:35, Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us today. We do appreciate it. Tony and Anamosa weighing in. Here come the Matt Campbell to Philadelphia Eagle rumors. Don't see that happening. But I suppose rumors will always be out there. I mean, Kirk Ferentz was going every direction in the world when he was, and Iowa fans were going through this same process and never left. So perhaps Matt Campbell does the same thing and never, ever leaves Ames. That remains to be seen, and only Matt knows. And I don't think he's going anywhere with the roster that they have coming back next year. We welcome in Gazette columnist Mike Halas. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. We strongly encourage you to do that. And also give him a follow on Twitter, his incredibly popular Twitter account, at Halas, joining us on the Monday edition of the program.
I've lost some followers the last few days.
Not me, man.
Oh, good. I wonder why that's happened.
You got 27,000 followers, for crying out loud.
That doesn't even qualify as a cult.
They come and go, Mike. You got to roll with the punches, man.
Yeah, I guess. I tell you, speaking of cult, I saw some pretty weird things in Washington a few days ago.
Yeah, let's start there, because before we get to what happened yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena, I was thinking of you guys when you were over there and what you were seeing, what was going on. And I know you ventured down there, correct?
Yeah, I went in Thursday. I mean, it wasn't exactly an act of courage. I was in transit Wednesday from Chicago to Baltimore. Thanks to the miracle of satellite television, I watched the resumption of the proceedings at the Capitol. And it made the flight go fast, because that was fascinating. And then Thursday, I mean, I knew before I even left Cedar Rapids that Thursday I had to go into Washington to take a look, and I did. And there were a lot of holdovers there, a lot of real dim bulbs, in my opinion, but it was certainly interesting.
And we had a game.
A game that night, too, a basketball game. It sort of was a palate cleanser.
Yeah, and especially the way Iowa played.
Yeah. I mean, they had two good ones in a four-day period. they let the bench guys sort of carry him for quite a while Thursday at Maryland, and then yesterday the old hands TCB, and they're on quite a roll. I mean, they right now, this is the first time this season when I would say with conviction that this team's living up to the preseason hype.
That's a very interesting team. That's an understatement, Mike, because at Maryland you had the bench scoring something like 35 points and making all kinds of contributions. And yesterday it was the old hats, as you said, the gray beards who did most of the heavy lifting, only 9 points off the bench. It's really interesting in that regard, how many ways Iowa can beat you.
Yeah, I mean, they can go big, they can go long, and they can go short. The last couple games, they've had Garza and Jack Nungy together quite a bit, more than we've seen this season, and it seems to be working as well as it has all season. Nungy had 10 rebounds yesterday, so he wasn't a scorer, but they did get that from the bench. And I thought he was an integral part of their success as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the guys, everybody contributed. None bigger than Jordan Bohannon over the last couple games. And he was honored with his first, as we found out, his first Big Ten Player of the Week, albeit co with Trace Jackson.
That surprised me. Didn't it surprise you?
It did. In fact, I thought he had won it before.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some pretty good games in his career. And he certainly made some big shots, but the way he's played the last four games has been as much as anything. I think that's where there's been sort of a bridge crossed with this team, because Bohannon hitting three pointers and passing as well as he's passed and running the break as well as he's run the break. They've been, I think that they've been kind of a different team. And yesterday was a culmination of all that, with the way he was shooting on top of the way he was hitting Garza in transition and just getting him the ball in the right place so often.
Mike from Marengo on the text line has apologized for his Friday text about Wieskamp's shooting slump. Welcome back, Joe Wieskamp, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's major college basketball, and if you go through the stat lines of non-centers, You see ebbs and flows when it comes to shooting, but good players are still good players. And, you know, he took good shots yesterday. He only took 9 shots and he had 20 points. That's a pretty good ratio, you know. But he just had a feel about his game that was like Joe Wieskamp when he's at his best, determined, driving, choosing shots wisely and mixing up his shots.
It's going to be... Go ahead, Mark.
No, Mike, at this early juncture, most teams have played about 6 games. Anything surprise you positively or negatively about anyone in the Big Ten?
Michigan being unbeaten at this point does. Mm-hmm. But it's a good team. It's no fluke. Michigan State being as mediocre as it's been surprises me just because you never see it. I mean, that's a team that's been to the last 22 NCAA tournaments. Would have been up 23 if they'd had one last year. You just don't see Michigan State sitting at 2-4 in the Big Ten, and they're not only 2-4, but they've looked bad a lot of the time.
That's what makes them dangerous coming Thursday.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, there's a reason why they're 2-4, and they don't have the guard play that they've had year after year after year after year. And they come to Iowa City, and it's going to be so weird to have Iowa as a decisive favorite against the Spartans, but that's exactly what it's going to be. I was shocked that Maryland won at Illinois last night, just shocked. It's a lesson there for everybody that show up every game. Iowa's won all 3 of its Big Ten home games by 15 points, and it showed up for those games. Well, it's got to keep doing that. And if it does, it's you know, in the Big Ten race to the very end.
Michigan has, and there's nobody easy in the Big Ten, no doubt.
There is. I mean, well, Nebraska is, and I don't know what's going on at Penn State. They've had 3 games postponed in a row now because of the COVID. But your point is right on the money, of course. It's the number of teams in the league that can beat you is huge. And, I mean, the fact that Maryland has beaten both Wisconsin and Illinois on the road. Northwestern winning its first three games in the conference, etc. So, Scott, I didn't mean to imply you were wrong. You're not.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's a it's I tell you what, every time you tune into a Big Ten basketball game, it is great entertainment, though, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I missed the game, the Illinois game last night, because I was wrapped up watching other things that were unbasketball. And on football, and it's like, geez, I missed something pretty weird in that Illinois game. I mean, I saw Maryland in person 3 days earlier, and Iowa blew them out of their own gym, and I thought they're not going to go to Illinois and compete.
And they didn't have Ayala.
I know. Morsell, who had been had to go to a shock therapy clinic because he got elbowed in the face. And here he goes out to Champaign and scores 19 points.
Yeah. Mike, we talked a little bit earlier about the situation at Iowa State, winless in the Big 12, and really some curious comments from players after getting blown out against Texas Tech. And what do you make the situation in Ames right now?
It's hard for me to talk about it because they're just not on my radar. I haven't had a chance to watch them. And from the sounds of it, you know, they might not win a Big 12 game. I'm sure they will. It's over somebody, but the way they're playing right now, it's going to be hard to prove it. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that they've got a lot of championship caliber basketball players. It's that simple. I don't like the makeup of the team, and things have crumbled over there. I don't think that there's any way to sugarcoat it. They weren't very good last year when they had Tyrese Halliburton, who's a Rookie of the Year candidate in the early going in the NBA. So they don't have any such player this year, and I'm not particularly interested in watching them.
Is Steve Prohm in any kind of trouble?
I don't know. You're in less trouble when you work for the guy who hired you. But I heard he's already, you know, he's saying that you can tell by the players that have moved on from here that we're doing things the right way and all that. But, you know, they're in one warped regard, they're lucky that it's a no-fan season because I think the place would be half empty.
Mm. And boy, would that be weird at Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, there's only that quote-unquote Hilton magic when there's a basketball team that gives people a reason to go bonkers.
Well, let's go outside of basketball for a minute, Mike, and stick with Iowa State. And just the remarkable news that has trickled out in the last few days and into this weekend about all the returnees for that football program. And it looks, for all intents and purposes, that Matt Campbell has no motivation to leave Ames right now. So, Iowa State fans have to be sky high about the news, I would guess.
Yeah, I nothing that surprised me from players coming back standpoint until yesterday. And then when Charlie Kohler and Greg Eisworth said that they would come back, that's like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I mean, I think they're both NFL ready right now. I don't know what the pros say about Eisworth, but he is a great college safety. I mean, the Big 12 honors he's gotten speaks to it, but I've seen him play many times, and he's terrific. And Kohler, he's been a third-team All-America the last 2 years. With his size and hands and route running, you're telling me he couldn't step right into an NFL job right now? So what's going on there? I mean, when players have been sequestered like they've been over there since May and, you know, living sort of a military life in a bubble and going through what they went through in the long season, and then almost immediately afterwards, everybody says they want more. What's that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very scared if I were the rest of the Big 12, Oklahoma included. And Campbell, no, he's not going anywhere. And the players know that, or they wouldn't all be coming back like they are. Why would you go somewhere else when you're going to have a top 10, maybe even a top 5 preseason team coming back? You'd be nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not nuts. And there's a lot to be said for building your own thing as opposed to inheriting something else where there's, you know, you got to follow up in the footsteps of X, Y, and Z. There's no X, Y, and Z in front of Campbell. Campbell's the whole alphabet over there.
There's no doubt that Iowa State is going to be the sexy pick next year by a lot of people to possibly be, I don't even think, a dark horse to get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's got a lot of good stuff coming back,
yes,
including a real good quarterback. But then they always do. But Iowa State is going to be in the top 10 when this final poll comes out tomorrow. And you've got almost everybody back. You know, you've got a unanimous All-America running back coming back. You've got the first team All-Big 12 quarterback coming back. You've got an All-America linebacker coming back, an All-America tight end coming back. What don't you have? You know, if they find somebody who can kick field goals from 35 yards out, they'll be pretty safe.
But he's back. Sally's back.
Okay. Okay, I take that back. I think they need to get a punter. You know, assuming that they'll need a punter. I say that jokingly, but they got a lot of off. I mean, the whole offensive line's coming back, and the offensive line was very good this year. So I hope that this, for a million reasons, why this damnable virus is gone by next September, but if there ever were a year to sell tickets, Iowa State can probably name its price this coming summer.
Yeah,
and we can only hope that Cy-Hawk game goes off, because they've been through a lot of them since 1977, but I'm not sure there'll be many more anticipated than that one.
There won't be. There won't be. This is the mountaintop, I think, right here. 0623, it will be interesting to see how Campbell handles high expectations next year. And I will say this, just because you have all this coming back, and you still got to play the game. Now, I'm not casting a dark cloud over Iowa State or anything like that. You still got to play the football game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, look, they did have fairly high preseason expectations, and they went out in the first game of the season and got whomped by Louisiana. So, yeah, it's like everything in sports, it's fickle. But they've got so many guys who've been through the process. I hate to use that word. It's a coach's word. But I don't think that there's any mentality of entitlement or, you know, anything that's going to get handed to them. They still haven't won a Big 12 title game. And so, I mean, you've got the players there talking about, okay, winning a Fiesta Bowl was great, and going 8-1 in the Big 12 is great, but they want to get somewhere higher. Well, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, very true.
Mike, you've got a new colleague, and tell us about her. She's going to be covering Iowa football.
Yeah, her name's Leah Vann. She comes from the Medill School of Journalism, Northwestern. She's a Texan. She's been around real football her whole life, Texas high school football. I think she's told me that her high school team is going for its 10th championship or something like that.
Mm.
They're still playing down there, if you can believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, their season's still going on. So her first day of work was today, and you'll start seeing her stuff in the Gazette and at thegazette.com very soon.
Yeah, great. Great. Yeah. She is a Cowboy fan, though, so, you know, what? Just kidding.
Cowboy. Maybe no longer, Scott. I don't know.
Try to convert her to a good Midwest team, but we'll see how it plays out right there.
Like what?
Oh, they're plenty to choose from. I kid.
Are any of them on the shores of Lake Michigan?
Yes, as a matter of fact. There are.
I don't think so.
Oh, that hurt. That was a direct mark. Easy there.
They are one of the better 8-8 playoff teams you're ever going to see.
I don't know even about that.
Okay, I might have exaggerated. Did you? I watched the last several minutes of that game on Nickelodeon yesterday. That was hysterical.
That was weird. I'm going to just say it.
It was fun.
It was weird. And I expected nothing else.
I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was absolutely brilliant to do that.
Yep. How many new football fans came out of that thing? That's what they were going for.
I mean, this stuff's supposed to be fun, you know? And the slime zone,
yes.
That was
oh,
awesome.
Boy.
That was great. And then Sean Payton, who I've never liked because of some of his antics, the Saints coach. But for 1 minute, I couldn't help but like him because he took a bucket of slime after the game in the locker room.
Did you see who was doing...
Who has more fun than people, huh?
Did you see who was doing the play-by-play for that, though? What, freshly a year and a half or something out of college?
I didn't recognize those people.
Ian Eagle's son.
Is that right?
Yes.
That guy was on Levitard a few weeks ago, and he is so funny.
Oh, Ian Eagle?
Yeah.
Yes, he is good. He is good.
Yeah, real good. One of my favorite announcers in sports.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thank you for the
time.
I
miss Levitard, don't you?
I do.
No.
No, Mark doesn't.
No.
Well, there's two kinds of people in this world. The people who enjoy the Levitard show and, you know, the people who want me off their lawn.
Hey, Mike, appreciate it, and have a good week, man.
You too.
All right. Mike Loss joining us here on the Gym Class Mondays. Here on KGYM. Follow him on Twitter at Halas. Give him a follow there and read his stuff at thegazette.com. Back to wrap things up after this.
Hey, folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM, and bet on Alabama, Ohio State with an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on FanDuel Sportsbook. You heard that right. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on the biggest college football game of the year. That means that you can pick either Alabama or Ohio State to win, then bet $5 for a chance to win $125. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for, then lock it in. And unlike other sportsbooks, once you win, FanDuel gets you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code COON to take advantage of your exclusive 25-1 college football odds boost. Remember, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS. Off.
Longtime Metro rivals hook up in boys hoops this Tuesday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Phil Dunamy Tuesday night at 7:15 on 107.5 FM, the KGYM radio app and stream as Linmar takes on Prairie. The Lions and Hawks have been going at it since their schools were founded, and this one should be another terrific matchup. That's NBC Boys Basketball, Linmar at Prairie, Tuesday night at 7:15 on 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Back to wrap things up on the gym class here in KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look back at Ohio State and Alabama from tonight, and Wyatt Schultz will join us after a great weekend of high school wrestling. 34-22 says, for the 90s kids, tonight on Nickelodeon, following Guts, hosted by Mike O'Malley, it's NFL playoff football. I don't know what that means because I wasn't a big Nickelodeon guy, but I'm going to trust 34-22 in what he says right there.
That's about all I can say about that, yeah.
Should ask Mike if he was watching The Masked Dancer last night. He said he wasn't watching the Illinois game or the Cleveland beating of Pittsburgh, so Anyway, speaking of games, who do you like tonight and why, Mark?
I like Alabama because of its quarterback and its wide receiving core. I think it's done it dynamic. I just don't think Ohio State, unless Trey Sermon goes off as he has a couple times here recently in the running game, I don't know that Ohio State can keep it within 10 points. But, you know, this is why they play the games, right?
That's right. I'm going to go Alabama 42-27 over Ohio State. That's a lot of points, but I think we'll see some points. I'm not sure we're going to get to 75, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, and Eli Gold will get a several touchdown Alabama tonight to say out there. All right, Mark, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Talk to everyone tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk to you tonight over at Xavier for the basketball game at about 7:15.
You heard you could save big when you bundle home and auto with Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw a link for a